Yeah, you heard what he said. Welcome to Up on Game. It's a Saturday morning. It's a play. Well, not Saturday morning for some of y'all. It's a Saturday early afternoon for some of y'all. Yeah. I feel like I'm Myron Cope on sports, introducing Up on Game into the to the
Myron Cope.
This is Myron Cope on sports. That's TJ Hutchmanzada and Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. Welcome to the show, y'all. Appreciate y'all tuning in. And listen, if you do podcasts, make sure you subscribe to our podcast, download the podcast, listen to the podcast, man. We put y'all up on some real interesting topics of conversation, and we enjoy doing so. It's a pleasure and an honor for us to be able to talk with you guys and interact with you. Shouts out to Iowa Sam on the board doing his thing. That's the great music that you hear coming in and out of the breaks. And some cool little sound effects take place. Our man Gavin, that keeps us on the rails, keeps us on the tracks real nice, real smooth. And our man David Gascon, you know, he's the most buff, strong, dieselish, chiseled out dude to deliver updates that you're going to you're gonna get it from.
And, that boy's strong.
And he got a good goatee going, too. You know, the goatee is strong. Anyway, so this is Up on Game. And coming into this segment, we were debating and discussing Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville. I believe that there could be some conditions that exist, I'll say, that could make it difficult for someone that is wired the way that he is to have success. Now, let me qualify this before I turn it over to you guys. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, why is it that coaches get recirculated so much? Why is it so hard to get a job? And I had been thinking about this for a long time. Now, this might be a crazy theory, but follow me on this, right? I don't think most coaches can coach. I don't think they're very good. I don't think that they're knowledgeable about the intricacies of the game. I think that the older that I've gotten, the more I realize that some of these people have been pimping the system. And the only way you can continue to pimp the system is what? Is if everybody is in cahoots. Is if everybody has got the same agenda. Everybody has the same motivations. So you could be a group of people that know how to organize people. You know how to get their uniforms in their lockers at the right time. You know how to get them on the buses. You know how to get them into the meeting rooms. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you know how to coach. And I think when you get a guy that comes along that actually knows how to coach and is unforgiving about the way they approach things, like an Urban Meyer, that's why they win everywhere they go. I realized very quickly in the presence of Urban Meyer, and you were there, TJ, for some of those moments, I realized very quickly his knowledge of the game is dope. I hate when I get into conversations and people talk about, oh, they spent 21 hours out of 24 preparing the game plan and studying film. Well, then you don't know football.
He's taking way too much time.
I'm sorry. You can try to convince me otherwise. It'll fall on deaf ears. If you got to spend 21 hours and spend the night in your office to prepare for games and stuff like that, something ain't right.
And then you turn around and play the same coverage the whole game.
Something ain't right.
Entire game, you play the same coverage, but you spent 21 hours game planning.
Something ain't right.
Unbelievable.
If you can sit there and tell me every single formation that they're going to come out in and on these downs and different things like that, and that's what's most important to you, then God bless. But to me, when I think about coaching, I think about how you can look at somebody else's team and what the DNA of that person that's coaching that team. Are they tough? Are they going to come out and be physical? Are they finesse? Are they quick? Are they going to try to outrun you? Are they going to try to spread you out? Or is it going to be deceptive? Is it going to be misdirection? There's so many different things. Plex, TJ, there's so many different elements to me that are more relevant and being a successful coach than probably the criteria that a lot of people are chosen on. What say you guys?
Hey, you know what, man? You know, I believe that the proof to a coach is in the player. It's just like you guys were saying when you and TJ was having these conversations with Urban Meyer, you found out how intelligent this man really was, and then you think about the success that he had at Florida, it all starts to resonate. And when you hear the players that this man has coached speak highly of him, of how intelligent and how good this man is as a coach, Brandon Spikes, I've had conversations with him about Urban Meyer, just telling me about, you know, how he is just, you know, one of the best coaches that he's ever been around. You know, Percy Harvin, you know, guys like that he coached while he was at Florida. And I look back at the situation when I was back in Michigan State back in, you know, 1998 and 1999. You know, I always say when I was playing in high school, I didn't have a coach, I had a teacher. And that was one of the reasons why I had a lot of success when I went on to college and went on to the NFL. But Nick Saban was my coach.
Was that a shot at Nick Saban just now?
No, it's not. I'm actually bigging him up.
Okay.
No, I don't think that he's a great people person. But when I got to Michigan State, and as far as this man being a football coach, he was the most he's one of the most brilliant coaching minds that I have been around in my life. And he wasn't even known. And this was, what, 20, 23, 24 years ago?
Right.
And I'm saying this going back to 98 and 99, that this man was brilliant back then. Nobody knew who he was. And now you look at the success that he's had over the years with it, 7 national championships. He's won the most national championships of any college football coach.
History. Yeah.
And it just goes back to me saying that, you know what, I experienced this when I was in college, and this is almost 25 years ago. And he was brilliant then. So the success that he has had, I'm not surprised at all, because I sat there and witnessed it and watched this man go about his job and coach college players and have success.
Well, let's listen to Urban Meyer and his vision and what he sees he can accomplish with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I want a team that plays fearless. First of it falls on the coaching staff. One way to take a great player and slow him down is be too complicated. And that won't, I can assure you, that will not happen. The only demand that I will have is you give everything you got for them. If you make a mistake, we have to coach you through that. My vision is when you grab a seat in this beautiful stadium is you're going to see a team play really fast.
That's, I mean.
And that right there.
That's a coach.
And that right there is why he should have success. Things have to align. You have to get your quarterback and hope you don't miss that defense, because now if Deshaun Watson stays in that division, you're in a division that they're going to hit you different ways. You got the Miami Dolphins. You have the Tennessee Titans that want to smash mouth run the ball. You have a team like the Houston Texans, if he's there, that can do both. And then you have a Colts that are good up front on both sides. So he's coming into a division that can play. But a great coach is a coach that hires great assistant coaches. So he oversees everything. They do all the teaching and coaching, and they're implementing his vision from the coaches meeting and what he wants.
Not only that, but it's about managing the expectations. It's about inspiring. It's about creating aspirations. It's about creating vision. You know, I as a coach, the one thing that I value the most is being able to create an environment that's conducive to success. The only way you can make an environment conducive to success is if you're making sure that the energy source is positive and in that direction, giving those young people, the people that are involved, the ability to take ownership, not only of what they do personally, but how it extends and plays a part of what the rest of the team and the rest of the organization, how they handle things. That's the only way you can take a team, especially at the National Football Pro level, if you're going to have any chance of being able to go out there and compete against those traditional powerhouse organizations, you have to have a collective buy-in and ownership stake in the culture that is being built out. I believe Urban Meyer can do that in spades with the players. I am, however, a tad bit leery and a tad bit intrigued as to how that will play out with the front office.
Hey, you know what, man? One of the things that I love that he said in this interview is that, you know, simplicity and our guys are going to play fast. And it resonates with me because, TJ, LeVar, how many times have you seen or been in training camp where you got guys who come out of college and they're some of the best athletes you have ever seen? They run 4.240s, 4.340s, and all of these kind of things. But the mental capacity of the NFL and understanding
too much.
What should I be doing on this play?
When
you get to the line of scrimmage, they can't perform. So they can't be the best them because they can't digest what is going on in their head mentally so they can go out and be their best self.
But then the question is, Flex, the question is that correct? Is that right?
It is correct. They have a young football team. Just like I just said earlier, they have a young football team. Let these guys go out and play fast. Be simple on offense.
So what you're saying is incorrect. We're saying the same thing. So you're saying simplify. Don't have a dictionary as the playbook.
Right.
Like what am I going to teach you 500 different plays for if we're only going to run four or five of them?
And we all know these coaches. Let's just go back to the national championship game. Dude, Ohio State defensive coordinator just played man. And I guarantee he game planned so long, watched so much film. And then all you do is turn around and play man to man.
I mean, why not have two or three adjustments? This is what I do with my team. I have two or three adjustments that we make, sight adjustments, and we check the theory. We check the down, the distance, the idea, stop the run on first down, prepare for the pass on other downs, and play fast.
But that's a fun – like, I –
And that's high school, but I would take the same concept anywhere I go.
Where guys can play fast. You have to get intelligent players because we all know there are a bunch of dummies.
Yeah.
But it can't be too simplistic to where a team knows exactly what you're doing. You have to keep them guessing as well. And so as long as you have players that can understand what you want to implement, and it doesn't have to be the entire team. You could have three or four players on defense they'll line everybody up. They'll communicate with the other guys to make sure the other guys, they know what they're doing. And so if you have those guys on the team, you should be fine.
We are talking about the pros here, so I want to be mindful and saying when we're getting into talking about simplicity, the pros is very complicated. They invest a ton of money and resources into the complexities of what plays look like. And I get that, the understanding of it, how you're going against other guys. I play a lot of coaches in chess. I'll whoop them. Think about it. Like I'll whoop a coach in chess. So if you're telling me all of these resources that are being used to be able to maneuver and put your guys in the right places and understand how to gain the advantage on the football field, a lot of these guys don't even know their way around the chessboard. And that's really ultimately what football is a chess match. Right. Let me throw this one out at you, Plex, and you too, TJ. When looking at the idea of how complicated this sport has become or how it's made to be, is it more so to keep people out? Is this more of an issue of a discussion point to say, if I can justify how complicated this thing is and how much the mental aspect of this game represents you being able to be here, is that a natural weeding out process, not only for players, but also for aspiring coaches?
Go ahead, TJ.
It can be, but honestly, we know. We've played a long time. There's some guys that just get it. There's some guys that it takes time, and there's just some guys that just they won't get it. If those guys that just won't get it, it's okay. If they're super talented, you deal with it, and you get a player that gets it and says, hey, you got to help him out. Make sure he understands what we're doing. Make sure he's lined up correctly, whether that's offensively or defensively. And so it can happen. But, again, it goes back to, do you believe in a coach? Do you believe in his knowledge that he's trying to impart upon you? He's telling you something. Is this the right thing? If you're a smart player and he tells you this and you watch film and it's something else, now you're going to have that doubt. And everything he tells you is what you said. These coaches just really
and
don't know
now,
what they're doing.
But then now what does that turn into? You know, you and I had this conversation all the time. I just posted it on my social media the other day, right? I was labeled a freelancer. I was labeled an uneducated football player as if I had no knowledge for the game, as if I couldn't learn a football playbook. Some people, and Marvin Lewis was one of them, sat there and had the nerve to actually say I couldn't learn a playbook. You know how long I spent with Marvin Lewis? I spent one season with Marvin Lewis. One season. And let's be clear here. One season on a failing football team. Failing football team, all right? I almost won defensive MVP that year. I led all linebackers with sacks. I broke 100 in tackles, right? I was an all-pro, and I was a pro bowler. And yet this man was maligning me. He's maligning me, saying that I do what I want to do, or I don't understand defenses, and I don't get it. So to me, then you start to have conversations. I'm all about having the conversation of unjustly accusing or putting these labels on different players about what that looks like and what that represents. And to me, this conversation screams that.
But you
it
know what,
screams that.
You know what's crazy though, is I was told that about you, and I automatically assume that to be the case.
To be true.
Yeah. But this, and that's why perception isn't reality, but it almost is if someone doesn't know you, because if a coach wants you to do this
and you don't do it that
then
way,
you're labeled.
Even yes. if you get yes. a positive result. Even if you get a positive result, you are still
exactly
on
the
mind.
Way they're able.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, you didn't do it exactly the way that they drew it up or they wanted you to do. So you can't learn a playbook. But I will say this. I want the people out, you know, listening to the show to understand when I was talking about Urban Meyer and to make it simple so these guys could play fast. This game from a mental standpoint is one of the toughest things that a young man coming out of college is trying to digest. And just being on the offense, I know TJ can attest to this, getting to the line of scrimmage and like you'll see three different coverages before the ball height coming out of the huddle. You see one.
Yeah.
When they're in cadence, they're jumping into another. When the ball's hike, they're in what they're going to run that play. So for a young receiver coming into this league and really trying to understand and digest what the defense is doing to him, it's not easy. Because on any given play, a pathway that's caught in the huddle, I can run three or four different routes based on what the coverage is showing me. So I'm not saying it's easy. But you can – coming in as a first-year coach – you can dial it back a little bit. So now you can, you know, look at your players and observe them and see how much they can take in. And then you can make your defense or your offense more complex to the defense or the offense is not getting a jump on what you want to do. And I believe that Urban Meyer understands that. He's coming out of college, going into the pros. He's going to make it simple his first year, and then he'll be more complex in the years to come.
Well, we certainly will find out if Urban Meyer is up for the challenge. That's the beauty of sports. It all plays out. Divisional round preview. We're going to talk about that. We got the big dog, the OG of OGs, Daryl Moose Johnston, coming on NFL on Fox broadcaster. He's doing the Rams-Packers game. We're going to talk about some of these games. Callers, y'all stay on there. We see y'all there. Stay locked. Yeah, you're listening to Up On Game on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartMedia. Make sure you stay dialed in. We're going to start talking a little playoffs on the other side. All right. Welcome to back on to Up On Game.
Where's my snare?
Hey.
Oh.
If you had to choose between an older Halle Berry or an older Madonna –
Halle Berry. I take Boomerang Halle Berry.
That was the conversation in between the Heisman talk and the discussions of who was deserving of it, who's getting drafted. What you got, Plex? What you got?
Man, we got to see if we can get Halle Berry on the show.
Halle Berry's people, if you're listening out there. Halle Berry, if you're listening. Up on
Put
game.
Us up on game. up on Help game. Me out a little bit, please.
Up on Game wants to bring you on the show and give you a special guest spot appearance on here. We could call it the Halle Berry Takeover.
Because that's exactly what it's going to be, because I'm not going to be doing much talking. I'm just going to be doing all the listening.
Hi, everybody going to be like, hi. Welcome back to Up on Game, y'all. That's Plexico Burris. You hear, speaking of boomerangs, Halle Berry. That's TJ Hushmanzada right next to me. I'm LeVar Arrington. Coming up on the other side of this update, a very, very cool guest, Daryl the Moose Johnston. And just so we have some time, in fact, I want to give the floor to my man David Gascon right now so we could get our trending.
LeVar, I feel bad. We didn't include Plax in that Q&A session.
I know, man. I know. And that was the reason why I brought it to the air.
I see how y'all do me, man.
You know.
It's cool.
We got to get you here.
Guys, college basketball, number 21 Ohio State just beat Illinois by 6. St. John's falls to Marquette 73-71, and North Carolina gets stumped by Florida State 82-75. A couple games that are underway in the first half. That includes number 17 Missouri beating up on Texas A&M by 16 points. And, of course, the National Football League has the two divisional round games today. Rams taking on the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau. Kickoff times at 4:30 Eastern. Cooper Kupp is a game-time decision. Aaron Donald will play. Both Bills wide receivers Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley taken off of the injury report for tonight's game against Baltimore. Bills 3-point favorites in that one. Mark Ingram is a healthy scratch as well. Marcus Peters is listed as questionable for that game. Major League Baseball, league is considering 7-inning doubleheaders yet again with runners on second base for extra innings this upcoming season. That's according to Bob Nightingale. It is pending a union approval. Fellas, back to you guys.
All right. Appreciate it. Well, I don't want to waste any time on bringing on this next distinguished gentleman. He is truly one of the crown jewels and bright beacons of our game and in our past and in our history. He's a part of the proclaimed America's team. A lot of people talk about Mike Irving. A lot of people talk about Emmitt Smith or Troy Aikman.
Or the linemen. They'll say
Larry
Jay Novacek.
Allen. Yeah. They'll throw Jay Novacek out there. But let me tell you something. You don't earn the nickname Moose if you ain't bringing that hat. And this man opened up a lot of lanes for Emmitt to become the all-time leading rusher in the history of the National Football League. Our guy, Daryl Moose Johnston from NFL on Fox, a broadcaster on the Rams, Packers, longtime successful broadcaster, by the way, doing the Rams and Packers game. Welcome in, bro. Big bro. Welcome in, man.
Wow. Thank you. What an introduction.
Yeah,
thank
man. So what are you, like, you know, with everything that's going on with this game, this is probably, I mean, outside of the New Orleans Saints and Tampa game, this has got to be the most intriguing game of this weekend. And I have my reasons why, but just give me, you know, all the homework that you've had to do going into the game. What are you looking at? What should we be looking for?
Yeah, well, I think that everybody's kind of focused on, you know, obviously the big matchup. So we've got the number one scoring offense with the Green Bay Packers going up against the number one scoring defense with the LA Rams, and everybody wants to see how that's going to pan out. But I'm really interested to see what happens on the other side of that one. You know, how does Jared Goff and the Rams offense do against the Green Bay Packer defense? Because we've had them a couple of times during the course of the season, and just to watch them progress and how much better they were playing in the month of December than they were earlier in the season. They seem to have hit their stride right at the right time. The big question mark, the run game, and to be able to hold Derrick Henry to under 100 yards, then to follow that up, you know, kept David Montgomery under 70 yards. You know, those are two pretty good running backs. So, you know, what will Cam Akers be able to do today to take some pressure off of Jared Goff and that thumb in the passing game? So that to me is going to be one of the things that I'm going to keep a close eye on. And then on that other side, I mean, Devontae Adams versus Jalen Ramsey, you know, when they do have the opportunity to go one-on-one, I think that's going to be something that's very special for the people to watch.
So how are you doing, Moose? When I look at the game, we all assume the Rams defense will be the Rams defense, and it make it hard, especially when you have a Jalen Ramsey that can match up with Devontae, like you said, but then you have Aaron Donald in the middle of that defense that is going to cause so much attention and disruption. Then you go on the flip side offensively. How is Goff's thumb? Are they going to be able to move the ball effectively? You would assume Cooper Kupp is going to play with his knee. It is the playoffs. How is that? How will McVay be able to scheme up to get his offensive position, because he knows his defense is going to keep him in the game? What is McVay's plan?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. That defense is going to give you a chance today. I think the emphasis obviously shifts down into the red zone. Green Bay is just, I mean, they're historical numbers with their touchdown efficiency in the red zone. How do the Rams keep pace with that? And can the defense prevent them from getting down in there? So every time that Jared Goff and the Rams offense cross that 25-yard line heading into that red zone, it becomes critically important that they walk away with touchdowns. How they're going to do that, I don't know. I don't think you leave anything in the bucket, right? You got a quarterback. We got to see how well Jared's going to throw the ball. Now, right now, it's nice. There's not a lot of wind. It's not overly cold. They did catch a pretty good weather day when you're talking about a guy who's 3 weeks removed from having three pins put in his thumb. But how far can he extend the field? Will Green Bay have the opportunity to really squeeze down in and not have to defend, anything beyond 20 yards because Jared Goff's just not effective throwing the football? I think that that's the big thing that they have to find out. But Sean McVay said, he got the practice this week, which last week he didn't. He was throwing the ball better each day moving forward than he did against Seattle last week. So I think it's trending where there's some confidence in the ability to throw the football effectively today, more so than he did against Seattle. But we'll have to see how that pans out, because if they become one-dimensional and they have to lean on that run game, this Packers defense is playing with quite a bit of swagger against the run.
Mm. Hey, look, from being an ultimate competitor from that standpoint, you just have to love this matchup of Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams on the edge, which I think he will shadow Adams all day long. But I will say this. We don't know how healthy Aaron Donald is. Green Bay Packers, no Bakhtiari. If Aaron Donald is healthy, I think they attack the backup left tackle. And if Aaron Donald, we don't know because nobody's saying anything. If he doesn't play, if he's not healthy, do you think that they can get pressure on Aaron Rodgers?
It's always so hard to get pressure on him. I think the one thing that was really impressive last week by the front was Russell Wilson and how well he feels pressure. He senses the breakdown of the pocket and kind of escapes through that. What the luxury is for the Rams is they're able to do that with just the four, and then they can drop the seven, and they can play the shell coverages and keep everything in front of them. To your point, if Aaron is not 100%, how does that impact them? One of the guys we haven't talked about yet is Leonard Floyd. And this organization is very familiar with Leonard Floyd from his time in Chicago. And everybody that we spoke to on the offensive side said, listen, we don't even recognize this guy on film. I mean, he is so much more dynamic than he was when he was in Chicago. He's making plays now. He's got the confidence. Always seemed like he was a step away from making that play when he was in Chicago. But now he's finishing it. And when Aaron Donald went out last week against Seattle, they continued to get sacks on Russell Wilson. Leonard had one. Morgan Fox had one. So, this is a front that's playing with a lot of confidence. I expect, even Aaron Donald at 90% is a tough challenge for anybody on game day. So, he'll be out there. He'll have his impact. The question is, how many snaps does he get? Do they take him off? Because I think that's one of the big things, too. As good as Aaron Rodgers is, and we've seen him do it when, he catches the 12th guy on the field. He's got a free play when he gets you in the neutral zone. How he has that knack, he's going to know when Aaron Donald is on the sideline. And you know that if he has an opportunity to get to something that he feels comfortable with in that situation, as opposed to Aaron being on the field where he doesn't feel comfortable, how aggressive does Aaron Rodgers get with Aaron Donald on the sideline taking a breather?
Moose, I want to throw this one out at you. And again, just super amazing perspective from the great legend himself, Daryl Moose Johnston, calling the game today for Fox. Let me throw this one out at you. I believe Green Bay will win this game. But I think it will be very difficult in the sense that one of the things that I have really looked at very closely is the aggressiveness and the physicality of the secondary. We talk about what the defensive front does for the Rams, and I agree with those things that you just said. But when I think about Troy Hill and Jalen Ramsey and Fuller and Johnson, Nick Scott and Darius Williams and those guys, the one thing that comes to mind is they tackle. And a lot of the offenses these days are looking to slip screens, tunnel screens, you know, jet sweeps, and just very quickly developing plays that require a secondary that's willing to be physical and tackle. The lowest number of tackles is Jalen Ramsey at 44. You have a safety that has over 100 tackles combined, 71 or so as solo, but combined over 100. That's linebacker numbers for tackles. How much of a difference do you see that making in today's game?
Well, I think that is really shift. You know, it's been a big shift with the way offenses are playing. You know, getting the football to your dynamic players in space and allowing them the opportunity to create. We get on TV and you guys talk on the radio, and we get into scheme and strategy and X's and O's. But you know, TJ and LeVar, they know this. This game comes down to blocking and tackling. When it's all said and done, who blocked best and who tackled the best, and that's what's going to happen today. We've talked about Aaron Donald in that front. Can Green Bay block him? Can they block that front? You know, Mike Pettine, the defensive coordinator for the Packers, feels his front is better than the Rams' front. He feels like they're going to win that battle.
Nah, he's wrong on that end.
You got to believe in your guys. You got to believe in your guys.
That is true. That is true.
So, but I'm telling you, you're going to be impressed by this defense. They've come a long way. They really have come a long way. If you saw them in the first half of the season, you won't recognize them today. They are confident. They play fast. I think he's scaled back what they're doing. It always comes down to blocking and tackling. And, yes, that secondary for the Rams is outstanding. The fewest explosive plays allowed in the NFL this season. And that doesn't mean it was something over the top. Sometimes, like you're saying, those are thrown 3 yards down the field and it turns into a 50-yard touchdown. Mm-hmm. If you're negating that, if you're making a team go down the field methodically and convert first downs and do an 8-play drive, a 10-play drive, a 12-play drive to get your points, at some point, there's an opportunity for them to make a mistake and lose that opportunity. So that's going to be the big thing today. I think the most important thing is the Rams' defense, as good as they are, will keep them in the game. The question is, can Jared Goff and that offense, you know, be a complementary component and have an opportunity to win this game at the end?
Wow, Moose, man, I'm really hurt, man. You know what? I have a lot of respect for you, man. I love you, my brother. You know, I came from an era where I played in an I formation offense, you know, obviously playing with Jerome Bettis and, you know, but always having a fullback. And then you get out there and say that LeVar and TJ, it comes down to blocking and tackling if you want to win the game. Are you insinuating that I wasn't blocking when I was playing wide receiver?
No.
I'm hurt, man. You know what? They know
Shame
about
me. Shame on me.
Oh, come on, Moose. This your boy. This your boy.
Oh, my gosh. Moose, we appreciate you coming on the show, man. Enjoy the game today. Anything else you got going on? You promoting anything? You know what? While we got you, I mean, just let us know, you know, if there's anything else before we let you go, because when you have the floor, it's always a pleasure to give you the final word and opportunity.
I appreciate that. Now, I really don't have anything going on right now. Just try to keep our communities and our country together. You know, not looking at what's wrong with our life and what's wrong with our world, but what can we find that's right? Mm-hmm. And one of the big things is we lost one of my college teammates this year, Marcus Paul, who is a strength coach with the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Marcus was 54, and we lost him far too soon. And we've always talked about getting together and having a reunion, and we kept putting it off. Well, now when we do it, Marcus isn't going to be there. So I've been telling everybody when I get an opportunity, hey, if you plan to do something and you've been putting it off, let's not put things off anymore. Let's make sure we get together with people that we haven't seen in a while. I know it's a challenge right now, but I learned a hard lesson when we lost Marcus. So I've been trying to get that out to everybody that if there's somebody you haven't seen in a while and you've been talking about doing it, make sure you do it.
Indeed.
No doubt about it, man. Appreciate it, Moose.
Yeah, well put. Good luck on the game today, Moose. That is Durrell Moose Johnston, NFL on Fox broadcaster. The Rams and the Packers. We are on the home stretch of this beautiful show. We'll be right back to wrap it up. You are listening to Up on Game on Fox Sports Radio. Take us on out of here, Sammy. Whoa.
Okay.
We see him ringing on nothing on. Oh,
what up, Wayne?
He just made a song for Green Bay.
Does it release tonight
or was it last night that it released?
Last night.
You think they're gonna win? Y'all think they're gonna win?
Green Bay, I think they're gonna win, man. I really do.
The question is, are they gonna cover?
Are they gonna cover?
Nah, I think it's going to be a closer game.
Are you betting on the game? Or
no, I'm not betting on the game, but I know that's people. It's easy in the playoffs to pick Cleveland as favorite or the underdog by 11 points. It's easy to pick the Chiefs. This the NFL playoffs with the Packers being favored by, I believe, 7 points. It's easy to say, oh, they should be able to win by a touchdown. But this is the playoffs. You really kind of you don't know how it's going to go.
I think they're going to cover.
I'm not a gambling man. I just want to win.
Okay. Well,
so
I think
I think the Green Bay will win. And I don't think, you know, Lil Wayne really understands the history of the Green Bay Packers. I think he just likes the G's that are on the side of the helmet.
Oh, okay. All right.
I really do.
All right. What else? Who else? Who else? Who else we got that's going? Who else we got that's the Ravens Bills? Who we got?
Two hottest teams going into the playoffs. I'm going to roll with the Baltimore Ravens.
Hey, you know what I want to say about this game? There's going to be like a 30-35 mile per hour wind in Buffalo tonight. And you know, I played in Buffalo back in 2007. It was like the same thing. The wind was blowing so hard you couldn't throw the football. And they were putting like 9 in the box playing man on the edge. And we ran for 289 yards. And you couldn't throw the ball. There was zero visibility. For me, I don't understand if you're the Baltimore Ravens and you know you're going into this game, it's going to be 35, 40 mile-hour winds. Why Mark Ingram is a healthy scratch?
Yeah, there's something going
and
on.
And knowing
there.
You got to run the football tonight.
Because they have Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and they
probably. I don't care.
I agree with that. I agree
you know
with
you have to run the football tonight. Why is he a healthy scratch?
Because J.K. Dobbins took the load.
How many times are they going to run the ball? You got two guys to split the carries up. You don't need three.
Yes, you do.
Now, Justice Hill will be active.
One goes down. What do you have?
Justice Hill.
Man, listen. The guy's a healthy scratch. I don't understand that. It's the playoffs. There's something going over there that we don't know about.
Yeah, he don't play.
Is that the difference?
Is
that the difference in this game? Is that the difference?
I believe so because he's your most physical runner.
I'm taking the Bills to win regardless, whether Mark Ingram was playing or not. I think the Bills are still the team. I have them making it to the Super Bowl, so I have them winning this game.
I'm taking Baltimore because of the elements. They have to run the football tonight. As far as Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs hooking up on the outside with the wind blowing, I think it's going to be a little more difficult for them to have a rapport this evening. So I'm taking the Baltimore Ravens to win the game, running the football.
TJ, do they cover?
The Ravens are going to win, so they automatically cover if they win because they're the underdog.
They are the underdog, Baltimore. And you're taking the Ravens. Y'all both are taking the Ravens?
I'm taking Baltimore.
Yes. Man. I was horribly wrong on my calls against y'all the other week. I think I get back on track today. The Bills will win this game, and they will cover. So that's interesting. Guys, I know we got you guys on callers, Kevin and Dre. Listen, man, we'll do something special for you guys. We can't get to you. We've unfortunately have run out of time, man.
We'll send you a T-shirt.
We're going to do something nice for you. We'll figure something out.
Y'all call in next week.
Make sure you call back. I know Dre is a regular. He's a P1er of the show. So
we're going to get y'all on next week. Carl, we get y'all on right away next week.
You have been put up on game, my people. That's TJ Hushmanzada. That's Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. Make sure you go check out the podcast. Make sure you drop a review. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you download. Make sure you put it up to your friends to have. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out on IG. Again, enjoy the games this weekend. You've just been put up on game. This is Fox Sports Radio.